Hi, and welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name's Ted McIntyre. Recently, MCAN, the Massachusetts Climate Action Network, has been holding webinars on new proposed legislation, clean energy and climate legislation here in Massachusetts. We at the Climate Minute has been fortunate enough to get some of the sound from that webinar, and so today we're going to listen to some of it. In order to help us get oriented, let me first let you listen to MCAN board member Henrietta Davis talking about kind of the scope of what the webinars are about.
I just want to welcome everybody to the call and tell you that MCAN is developing a legislative action team, and in part of our activities are these briefings. And what we really like you to do is join with us, keep connected with us, so that we can alert you when there's a time to be in touch with your state reps or others or state senators, and so we can join together as a team to go forward in this legislative session. We have probably another 14, 15 months before much of this legislation comes to forward for a vote, and we'll need your help all along the way. So please, I think Drew's going to tell you how to sign up at the end to stay connected. Please do sign up and do connect up with us. Thank you.
So that's the background. These webinars and podcasts are a way for you to learn about legislation. Not only learn about legislation, but also learn how you can team up with other people to make a real impact to turn this proposed legislation, these proposed bills, into law. So next we want to take a listen to MCAN's Drew Grande, who will introduce the speaker, which is Representative Jennifer Benson, who will be talking about green infrastructure. So let's roll the tape, as they used to say.
Introduce myself. I'm Drew Grande, the Clean Energy Program Director with MCAN. MCAN was founded in 2000, and we are a learning network of chapters across Massachusetts taking action to solve climate change. We have 50 chapters representing more than 75 cities and towns, and if you're not already a chapter, we'd be happy to welcome you to our local groups. We focus on climate solutions and do everything from helping groups get climate-friendly bylaws passed through town meeting or city councils, to giving you all a voice at the state level on policies and programs. Tonight's webinar is about how you can be involved in helping move forward that climate legislation from the Roadmap 2050 bill, carbon pricing, to proposed bills affecting municipal light and power plants. This is the second in our series of legislative conversations. Our first one is posted on our website, which covered two net zero bills and the future of a sustainable transportation. Our next legislative conversation webinar will take place in mid-April, and we'll cover two environmental justice bills as well as the 100% clean energy bill. But for now, we're looking forward to getting started here. Right now, what I'd like to do is hand it over to State Representative Jennifer Benson to talk about House Bill 2810, an act to promote green infrastructure and reduce carbon emissions. Representative Benson, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Thank you very much. The show is all yours.
Great. Thank you. So, hi, everyone, and welcome. I'm really excited to be joining you tonight, and I'm here in my State House office and looking forward to having a discussion about carbon pricing. Great. So we can start with the slides. That would be fantastic. Great, thank you. So my bill is House Bill 2810. It is a slightly different bill than the bill I filed last year. So if we want to get to the first slide, we'll start talking about the bill and why it's a little bit different, and we'll take it from there. So So carbon pricing is something I'm sure now all of you, because you're very educated environmentalists, know what it is. It's a way of putting a price on a ton of carbon emissions. And we do this already, sort of, through REGI, through a cap and trade system, but this is slightly different. This is a carbon fee and rebate system. And the idea is that it would internalize the externalities of carbon emissions. And so through this, we are hoping to address some of the environmental and health impacts of carbon emissions. So the next slide. So my bill starts with a $20 per ton a fee on carbon emissions. It goes up to $40 per ton over 4 years. And then if we still don't meet our targets that were in the Global Warming Solutions Act, it would continue to rise by $5 per ton per year. 70% of all fees collected would go back to consumers and employers. And we strengthened, one of the big differences between last year's bill and this year's bill is that we really worked to strengthen the environmental justice aspect of the bill, really protecting low and moderate income folks throughout the Commonwealth. So if we go to the next slide, so like a typical carbon pricing policy, this would collect fees for each carbon each ton of carbon emitted, and then rebate some of those fees back to households and businesses. Households, their rebates would be based on the size of the household, so every adult receives a full rebate, and every child would receive a half rebate. There are protections built in for low and moderate income households, as well as rural residents. Who have to use cars for transportation because they don't have public transportation options available to them. And the rebates would be tilted toward the low and moderate income households, which means most households in the Commonwealth would either come out ahead or hold steady, and there would be no fiscal impact on them. Employer rebates are based on the number of employees, and most businesses would actually come out even as well. There are some additional considerations for Massachusetts-based businesses that have a lot of competitive pressure, such as manufacturers, which is one sector we're trying to keep in Massachusetts. And so there is some leeway in that would be allowed in regulation to slightly change those rebates depending on if it's a highly competitive industry or an industry that we're particularly trying to hold on to in Massachusetts. And then households and businesses can spend those rebates on anything. But the hope is, along with these rebates, will come information from the state, and we're hoping that they will put these rebates to good use for energy efficiency, green energy, and other ways of reducing your carbon footprint. So in the next slide, this is really the biggest difference in my bill compared to some other bills that have been filed, is that it's revenue positive. And I'm really excited about this. So 30% of the fees collected from this carbon price would go into a green infrastructure fund. This fund would be used to finance public transportation, climate resiliency, energy efficiency, municipal energy projects. And it's not a small amount of money. We're talking about in the first year of implementation alone, at the lowest per ton price, we're talking about $300 million. And just think about how much good we could do with these funds as compared to today, which we have very little funds from the state going that are dedicated for this purpose. So 40% of those funds would go to communities with an average medium income in the bottom 33%. So not only have we weighted the individual rebates by income, but we're actually weighting the Green Infrastructure Fund by need as well for entire communities. So So Massachusetts has done a great job of reducing carbon emissions, but we really need to go further. So, you know, we're really looking at places where our current programs and incentives haven't been able to break into, whether that's rental properties, multi-unit dwellings, or simply municipal buildings. So, you know, this provides us with a large pot of money to really invest in sort of the future of the Commonwealth. So, you know, that's what I think really sets this bill above others. So in the next slide, you can see, you know, some of the reasons why I felt really strongly about going with a revenue positive approach. Because many of my colleagues felt that a revenue neutral a bill might be easier to sell to the public. And when it's, you know, revenue positive, people, of course, are going to call it a tax. My concern, though, is that we are falling farther and farther behind of where we need to be in order to really make a difference for the future of not only the Commonwealth, but our Earth. And so being more ambitious and more aggressive in how we work toward meeting the challenges of getting to eventually a carbon neutral future is really important. And so having really bold public dollars to invest is vitally important. So we're not the first ones in the world to have this idea. Finland was the first country to establish a carbon fee in 1990. The EU established the first cap and trade system in 2005. And of course, the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, with New England states plus New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Delaware, established the first cap and trade system in the US in 2009. And when I got to go to the UN climate talks last year in Bonn, Germany, many countries were taking this on as something they wanted to work toward. So we are not at all the first to consider doing this. And so if you look on the next slide, you can see, according to the World Bank, there are currently 54 carbon pricing policies in place in 44 countries around the globe. In implementing a carbon fee, Massachusetts would be joining Canada, the majority of the European Union, Mexico, and several South American countries as well. So we would be really linking hands with the world in taking our effort around establishing a carbon-free economy and a carbon-free future with many other countries around the globe. So data shows that carbon pricing has a substantial benefits, and we have strong evidence that it works, and it leads to not only dramatic reductions in emissions, but actually creates economic growth for the places where it has happened already, and we're looking forward to the similar thing happening here in Massachusetts. And so in the next slide, we see the evidence. So Denmark adopted a carbon pricing in 1992. Not only did they cut their emissions by 37%, they still grew their population and their economy in that time. Right here in the U.S., RGGI has been found to directly be responsible for at least 25% reduction in carbon emissions around electricity generation. And studies have shown that the economic and health benefits of carbon pricing in Massachusetts would be significant. According to Harvard University, within just a few decades, emissions would be reduced enough that hundreds of lives would be saved, and the savings to the state in health care costs would be in the billions. And right now, serving as the chair of healthcare financing here in Massachusetts, that is certainly something that is important, and that we're struggling with every day is how do we rein in healthcare costs? And of course, one big obvious reason is to keep people healthier, and this would help us do that. So advocacy, I know I'm going through these very quickly, and of course I'm happy to answer questions, and you'll have the video and the slides for this to reflect back on, but the most effective thing you can do to be an advocate for carbon pricing is to reach out to your state elected official and tell them that you want to support House Bill 2810, an act to promote green infrastructure and reduce carbon emissions. Last session, my carbon pricing bill had 59 co-sponsors. This session, we almost doubled that to 105 co-sponsors, including more than half of the House of Representatives. But that means there are still many more reps and senators who haven't expressed their support for carbon pricing. You can check to see if your elected officials are co-sponsors by visiting malegislature.gov and searching for the bill. You can also track the bill online to see when it is scheduled for a hearing. You can attend the hearing, or you could submit written testimony to the Joint Committee on Telecommunications, Utilities, and Energy. And I just want to say that carbon pricing is complicated. And that's one of the things I hear from my colleagues all the time is, you know, I think one of the main reasons we have been able to go from so many more co-sponsors this session is we've done a lot of outreach, both from my office and from, of course, all of you and constituents. But we have a lot of evidence to show that this is one of the biggest tools we have to addressing climate change and reducing our carbon emissions moving forward, which we know is critical. And so, you know, it's going to take some political will and courage to push this forward. But if you look at what we're doing here in Massachusetts, I think we've always been comfortable with being on the forefront. Also, this bill is being used in about 18 other states at this point as a model for how carbon pricing can work on a state level. And I've been very actively working in organizations to help support those efforts and to find ways to work with other states to create markets potentially together into the future. So this is the end of my presentation. I'll be available for questions after all the presentations. So thank you.
So there you go. That's an interesting presentation on a carbon pricing bill from Representative Jennifer Benson. And, of course, you heard how you can help out. You can get on the MCAN webpage and become part of the legislative team. Go for it. So you can check out the links to what we talked about here at the blog. It'll be at massclimateaction.org/blog. You can find it on Facebook at /massclimateaction. You can listen to this show directly on your smartphone using Stitcher or Podbean or any of the podcast distribution apps. You can find us on Apple Podcast. Of course, please send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. We'd love to hear your opinions and suggestions. That's podcast@massclimateaction.net. So we'll close where we always close by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we must insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan using regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our collective future. So thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.